Welcome back to the Black Ears Break with yours truly, KC Layman. We have a lovely round table in the house tonight. Tonight's guests are Chris, Darius, Rasan, and Alicia, and maybe Leisha. And tonight's topic is your partner responsible for your sexual satisfaction? And I am so interested in what everybody is going to say, because we are all smiles right now. Because I'm trying not to smile, but we're smiling at the table right now.
We're smiling. We're definitely smiling.
It's more of a chagrin.
I am actually going to step back and let you all tackle this question first.
I'm going to open it up and answer that with a resounding yes. And then let the conversation go where it may.
Anybody disagree with Cuzzo? Okay.
Right, read the question again.
Is your partner responsible,
Chris,
for your sexual satisfaction?
I would have to say, like my father told me in so many instances, if you don't, somebody else will. And so with that being said, especially as a man with a very healthy drive for
libido.
Things sexual, heterosexual, that is. Let's clarify. Heterosexual.
Not open sexual.
Nah.
Happy sexual.
I'd have to say, and I've had partners in the past who I've had to reason with and damn near blackmail into satisfaction and pleasure. And I had one partner who was, she was a retail queen. She liked to shop. And so I liken my experience of trying to cajole, twist her arm into doing certain things is, I put it to her like this. I said, if you were searching for a certain dress for a particular event and you went to Macy's and they didn't have that dress, would you just be satisfied with the fact that they didn't have it, or would you keep looking? And so I'm looking at sex in the same fashion and having a partner. If your partner is not doing what you're looking for, and this is just the carnal aspect of me, then the desire to look elsewhere is enhanced.
I would agree.
And so that being said, if your partner feels committed to you, or they are supposed to be committed to you, then once again, yes, I would say that they are responsible, or partially.
I wanted to comment on that last part when he said that if they're committed to you, and I would agree with that. You know, if someone's in a committed relationship, for example, I kind of feel like they are kind of responsible to find out, like, what is it that turns you on? What are your likes, your dislikes, you know, if you are committed to one another? And then at the same time, you know, you have to, if there's something your partner is doing that you don't like, or you need something else in that relationship, you should be, you should say it. You should let them know. You should be honest about it.
I would agree.
Yeah. This is Chris. And yeah, I was going to say the same thing. Like, yes, like they are to a certain extent in the fact that, you know, you are basically making a decision. Like, I'm going to be your partner. So basically what you're saying is, I'm not going to sleep with anybody else but you.
Exactly.
So, I mean, and it's coming from a guy's perspective. Now that you know that, and since, you know, we're looked at sexual wolves and all that, like, if I'm just going to sleep with you instead of sleeping with all these other chicks that I could possibly get, you need to hold up that end of the bargain. Like,
correct.
Right. Like, I could just go out, but I'm not. I'm making the decision. So, especially for women who feel like we can just go get it and we always got this appetite and we could cheat at any damn moment. It's like, well, you better be on your P's and Q's then.
That's the stereotype. I would agree the same thing, though. Yeah. Otherwise, what's the point of monogamy?
Right.
What's the point? I mean, there's other reasons for marriage, but what's the point of monogamy if the person who you're married to is not going to work to sexually satisfy you? There is no point. If your partner's not responsible for it, then somebody, like Daria said, will become responsible for it. One way or another.
Oh, yeah. I do think in yourself, you have to speak up and say something. If you don't let them know, or state what you like, how you like it, how often you like it, them needs and all that, and make sure that if they're not satisfying that, that I mean, don't be, I mean, some people, sex is a top three deal breaker in a relationship. Like, I need it all the time, this time, and if you ain't gonna give it to me, then I'm going somewhere else because I need to get it. For some people, sex once every 6 months or year is okay.
Yeah, now that's a question. Because I have heard this from other married people. I can not speak to this personally. But people who have gotten married, and once they have gotten married, all of a sudden their sexual appetite drops off or changes drastically. Or after having a kid, their sexual appetite drops off or changes drastically. How do you then handle it if the person who was meeting your needs before, and quite frankly, they've done nothing wrong, but maybe through some sort of biological shift, just doesn't have the same libido anymore?
Well, I think so much of it is mental, you know, and once again, we're talking about pleasing your counterpart. You know, we're not talking about what's pleasing to me. So where I may be ill or by some misfortune, not be able to perform, but I still, that doesn't take away the obligation, I don't think. Okay. If I'm looking to please somebody, then I'm looking to please them. And it's just that simple.
Okay.
Yeah, this is Rahsaan. yeah, I agree with everything that's been said, you know, up until this point, you know. So I just want to just make that make that announcement, you know. But not yet, but to answer the question, the overarching question, yes, you know, your partner does have a responsibility. And, you know, it works both ways. We have a responsibility to each other to make those things happen, you know, that's going to satisfy each other, you know, on that level right there. Yeah, yeah, that's how it is.
That's how it is. That's it, that's all.
Yeah.
That's it.
I had somebody present the idea. I have a friend who believes that he is a sex addict and it is impacting his current relationship.
After what?
Because he thinks he's not getting enough and that his partner is just kind of like, all you ever want to do is just paw on me. All you want to do is have sex. It's a constantly frequent thing. Now, what do you do when you're dealing with somebody in that sort of stuff? First of all, how do you even recognize whether or not sex is an addiction for you? Because I would argue sex is an addiction for everybody.
Yeah, I guess
for many.
I think most of us would do it more often.
But I guess you have people that, I guess, where the addict portion of it comes out, where you like everything, nothing else matters but that. Like, if I need to go to work, I need to get some ass. Like, I'm sorry. Fuck work. Yeah. No, I just got some money. I got my check. What am I going to do? I'm going to go get some ass.
Like, instead of paying the mortgage.
Right. You know, like, I need to take care of my child. No, I'm trying to go out. I'm trying to go to the club so I can get some. Like, that kind of, like, addict.
That level of addiction.
It's that good. It can be that addictive. And there's,
but within a marriage. So you're not necessarily going outside the relationship, but you're trying.
Well, no, on that end, I would say that you just like sex a lot. I wouldn't say you're an addict, but you just like it a lot. And you're asking, you know, your partner to basically provide
that. To meet you
there, yeah. Now, you do have to be aware that what your partner may be saying about you don't do nothing else but that, you might have to look at yourself and say, wait, am I actually are we doing other things out together besides sex? Yeah. I mean, like, does your partner actually have a point? Like, you're complaining about this. They're like, well, part of that is you ain't doing this. You know, if you do this, if you fix this shit, then I'll give you the sex. Yeah. But somebody, you know, but they could be like, well, if you give me the damn sex, then I'll do that. And I'm like, whose responsibility is it to make the first move?
That's a good question.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a really good question. Somebody made the point, you know, that they feel when it comes to women, for us, and ladies, feel free to chime in. Sex for us, a lot of the time, there's a big chunk of it that is mental. So
emotional.
Yes. So there's a part of it. I think it becomes emotional, but I think that mental part is like, if you're not connected with the person, you just may not enjoy it as
much.
Yes, there has to be mental foreplay before you can even, well, my opinion, before you can even get physical, mm-hmm. you have to have that mental foreplay throughout the day. Baby, you know, you look wonderful today.
Some flirting. You know,
just some flirting.
Some sexting.
Take out the trash, you know, Sorry. Basic things that need to be done. So, yeah, right?
Cut the grass. So
you can't cut the grass.
It's different for everybody.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
It helps, right?
Yeah.
So for us as women, it's difficult to just go straight to it if your emotional needs have been neglected.
Yeah, because you can stop feeling something for somebody that you had good sex with, mm-hmm. and then it not be enjoyable mm-hmm. for you Amen. At all. So okay, part of that responsibility. So let's go here. Let's say, for example, this might have to be a Black Is After Dark episode. Let's say, for example, you're dealing with a partner who has sexual proclivities that may not interest you, or things that you may not have tried, and you're in a committed monogamous relationship. Do you open yourself up to trying them?
I would say you would have to at least consider it. If you're just standoffish, no. Things may get sour real fast.
What if those things involve the inclusion of other people?
That's on another level. I will say that. I will say that. That's not.
I'm just saying.
No, I'm not disagreeing with you at all. I'm just saying that's like a door unto itself. I will say that. Like, oh, these are all the doors we can go. And then
there's that door.
There's a few doors that everybody goes through, and then there's some doors that are like, oh, that when you ask, your partner is going to pause for a second and be like, okay. I mean, you gotta ask. It works both ways. You gotta ask. You don't know people. I mean, humans got a huge sexual appetite, so you don't know what the person may ask for. I mean, I've heard some like wild out shit, mostly from white folk who like weird as shit. But I mean, white people like some weird shit too. No, but I would say like
I've never been
like, put this way. I mean, we can go out there. I'll put this way. I'll say this. I ain't never been really into doing a train on a chick. I'm just like, I don't want to be around all them niggas. I don't want, you know, that's just, I'm uncomfortable with that.
You don't like sloppy seconds, Chris?
Nah. I mean, if I'm going to get it after you, at least let me get it by myself. I don't need to be like, right.
That's like secondhand smoke.
You want to embrace her and hold her after everybody that had their business with her.
I don't need to see you there.
You want to handcuff her, huh?
Like, I know, like, oh, it was good. All right, well, let me find
Come on, home. Baby, let me treat you right. These niggas don't know what a true woman is.
Nigga, I don't need your help, nigga. Trying to handle this shit on my own. I wasn't. How come you ain't call me when you was there? Right. Like, get in on this. But I mean, your partner.
Ain't no fun.
Right. Your partner going to
Yeah, that's right. Ain't going to be no fun.
No, that shit ain't fun.
Ain't fun.
We all had that.
I'd have to agree with you.
We all had
all jokes aside. Yeah. I don't like
it's like,
I don't like a bus of swinging nutsacks around. Yeah. I'm cool. Yeah.
I mean, you know, but your partner's going to ask for something that you may be like, I don't know, like, do I really want that? And you have to think of the repercussions when you go to that door of adding somebody else.
You saying ideally, though, but some, and I think the reality is some people don't even consider it.
No, they don't.
It's just a flat out no.
Right.
And, you know, that could be, you know, down the path of destruction.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
You have to at least listen and just think about it. Now, you may not want to do it at all, but at least like, all right, let me actually give this some thought. And then you'd be like, look, I really thought about it and explained the reasons why you won't do it. And you're like, okay. And then that person will then make their own choice.
Yeah.
But you need to find that out, like, before you get married.
Yeah, but how can you?
Well, some of that you can.
If you're having sex before you get married, that's a conversation that you should be able to open up.
But then, you know, the problem with men is this, and I'll tell you. is that men want to believe that we as men want to believe that we're woman's first in doing everything.
And you just need to get over that.
But it's not gonna happen. So let's go back to what you were saying about finding this out before you're married. If someone exposes all of that to me before we're married,
then you ain't marrying her.
Then you, there you go. Bottom line. And you're saying, you know what?
Women, you can't win.
You've been practicing on somebody else. I didn't teach you that, you know. And this is just what's going on in a man's brain. I'm telling you. I'm giving you Steve Harvey.
Yes.
You know.
We have had this conversation.
And so you want the balance, yeah. But I think you can tell from a woman's mindset and close dealings with her as to whether or not she's willing to go there.
Whether she's experienced or a professional.
No. Just the willingness. Yes.
Okay.
The willingness.
Okay.
You know, the ability is one thing, because you can try stuff or think you want something, and then when you have it, No teeth. But, you know.
Are there, limits is not the word. I've heard in conversation and read in articles. So for certain people, when we're talking about needs being met, we're saying this needs to happen X amount of times a week.
Nah.
Is that sensible?
I mean, for me, like, I think like it shouldn't be like a regimented kind of thing, yeah, like that, because that kind of takes away from
the fun, the
emotional aspect, and then, you know what I'm saying, just the genuineness, you know, of the relationship and the love that's there between, you know, you and your partner. So, like, to have, like, okay, Wednesday night, you know what I'm saying, that's takedown night, you know, we got, yeah, every Wednesday, that's just takedown session, you know, one and two, you know what I'm saying. I don't think that's, I mean, if you do something like that, you know, where it's like fun and creative, that might be different. But if it's just like some regimented, like from 7 to 8 every Tuesday and Thursday. Nah, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's kind of like robotic. Right. You know, it's not. Nah.
I'd have to agree that that spontaneity is important.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It's a necessity.
It's
a necessity.
It's what soothes the anxiety of it all, being able to look forward to it. And so if it was more frequent and it becomes repetitive, you know, and then how much fun is it?
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, because it's the same old thing. And so, but, you know, in a nutshell, I think, and I've been speaking to what a woman is responsible for, but I do believe that, you know, it goes both ways. No question about it.
Yeah, that was going to
be
my next question.
I'm not putting this all on a woman. I mean, it's definitely something that, but, you know, if you want to get a bird's eye view into somebody's soul, how far do you go physically with them before you marry them? I mean, it's just, you know, and then I've heard women say that, you know, I'm willing to do that, but only after we're married. You know, I want to save this experience for my husband or things along those lines.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah.
You know, but how do I know if I roll these dice that I'm really going to, I'm gonna hit that seven. You gotta play.
You know, I was almost thinking you almost be like, it's almost like spades, and you gotta play a spade before you go into the marriage. Be like, I can do this. Like, ooh, okay, do not play your whole fucking hand before you get married. No, because then if you play all your cards, it's like, once I'm married, it's like, all right, hey, we on this journey. What's next? Like, oh, you done
that was
everything.
It.
Well, yeah. How long this train gonna last? But you gotta at least tie the person. You can't just be like, I'm all virginy, and then once it's over, once I get in, then you're gonna explode. And like, that's, I don't want to go 0 to 60. I need to know. Can you handle 0 to 60? Shit, I never got to put the pedal to the metal
in 2 seconds.
Right.
Too flat.
Right. You gotta at least be willing. I mean,
Chris said his name is Dirk Diggler.
Yeah, you have to communicate.
You got to kick the tires. And you got to test drive.
Yeah.
I mean, I understand some people are not, don't want to do that. I'm just like, if you don't really want, I get, it's not that important then. I mean, I don't want to say it like that because I know a lot of it's religious.
No, but that's honestly, what you mean.
To me, it's like, it's not that big a deal that if you're okay to waiting the whole relationship or at least a few years and all that before we do it again or just show me something, then I'm like, then I know that sex is really not that important to you. Because honestly, the way I understand women, women can challenge men for sexual appetite. So if you kind of like, I'm cool, I don't want to wait, I'm like, damn, I guess you don't really want it that much. Like, you ain't asking me to deliver. You can't just do that and then be like, all right, I'm ready, I need it all the time. Like, I didn't know that before I was getting in. Maybe I don't want it like that all the time. Yeah, I mean,
It has to be mutual.
Right.
There has to be dialogue. I mean, yeah. you have to communicate and you have to have a conversation. Yes. I think before, during, you know, after you get married, I mean, it has to be ongoing.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Because people do change from time to time. And I think people who can get into relationships and not have sex, that has to be a mutual agreement. I don't see two people staying together and where one person wants to be celibate and the other person doesn't and just is doing it in hopes of this person changing their mind. Or I don't know if you fall in love that hard with somebody prior to having sex. I can't say that I've ever had that kind of experience before. But like this is a conversation that I'm seeing repeated quite often amongst women, and I'd be interested to hear what you all have to say, and ladies too. So we're in a time period now where folks aren't necessarily trying to maintain any level of virginity up until marriage. You got a lot of women staying single longer. Therefore, they're developing or hitting their sexual prime sometime before actually finding a spouse. And some women don't necessarily need to go through a courtship to know that they want to sleep with a man. If a woman wants to sleep with a man right away, first date, does that impact the way you now see this woman? Is she all of a sudden now in this category?
Pretty much so.
Yeah,
that never changes.
Yeah, it doesn't really change because now you pretty much it goes back to that car plan. I'm pretty much seeing the whole deck at this point, and it's like, okay, I know where this is going to go all the time, right. You know, and
because so she can't just stop after that.
She better not. You don't. I mean, you know, because that's what she. I'm speaking. As you know, prior to marriage, you know, just in that mindset, just you know, yeah, nah, you pretty much showed your cards, and
I'm also speaking prior to marriage.
Yeah. that would be all three.
Yeah.
But I do have friends who are single and philanderers, you know, and you know, I think. Kim, you mentioned women hitting their sexual prime before they've settled down. The only way that can happen is a woman is obviously not clear on what it is she wants. I just cannot see. Well, I shouldn't say that. She might be clear on what she wants, but maybe she has not encountered it yet. And up until that point, maybe willing to settle for less. Problem with that. For a man is that there's always a societal double standard.
Yeah, because that was going to be my next question. Why, if a woman who's grown, sexually active, she's talking to you, you guys are having a good conversation, there's some obvious chemistry, and she's down and not, you know, she doesn't give any indication of necessarily being a hoe. We're not giving her that label. She ain't asking for payment. She digs you and she wants to get down. Why does that all of a sudden relegate her to this category?
I think it doesn't. I think the majority, I mean, if you date a lot and you go out with 10 chicks and like four of them, you get to sleep on the first date, like maybe one of them is probably like you would feel maybe worth, you know,
maybe
keeping
one.
Your, like
maybe
at least one. Checking it out and seeing what's up. But you might have the rest of you like, I'm bored. There has to be something it seems like for that kind of situation, there has to be something in the date, all of that prior, that makes me intrigued. That's some, there's something there that's going to have me, would have had come me back. Come back anyway.
Right.
To yeah. make me like, damn, like, something like, and I'm thinking of shit.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, cause you know, like, what was it? Like three stacks there. I ain't mad.
Hey, Chris, I didn't realize you were yeah. so hood.
All these years I've been
It's there.
I thought you were square biz.
And married to me, seriously. Now you know.
Nah, I just when you ask my opinion, I'm coming out and give it to you that real. No, it's like Three Stacks said, you know, I ain't mad. She just know what she want out of life. I'm not mad at a woman who's like, damn, nigga, you fine, you want to fuck. And you like, okay. I mean, especially if as a guy, if you've been wanting it and she's just like, what's up? Like, you know, you want to do this? Yeah. You're like, oh, all right. there are those guys who put it like, I will say this. I wouldn't go in there like expecting it. But that's, I keep my expectations like that low on them things anyway. Like, I'm old school. I expect at least if it goes well, you know, I get a kiss or something. I get a, you know, you. We going on a second date.
You book the next date.
Yes, right. That's the goal. You know, if you get it to going upstairs with her, then that's icing on the cake that night.
Yeah.
But there are men who are just like, oh, it's a sign. Oh, she let me sleep early. I guess she does this all the time. Mm. And you don't know, but you have to feel the chick out. But if you feel like she kind of ho-ish and you just like, oh, I got it. Like, she does this because that's the vibe I got that she was kind of ho-ish.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, it goes back to like, yeah, you know, if you're in that situation, if you're in that realm, you know, if the vibe and this, you know, is there and that it pops off like that, then cool. Then like after that, you kind of like gauging, okay, where do we go from here? Or like where is this going to go? And then that's going to kind of like predicate as to what category, you know, this is going to be set in. So,
but is that your partner or is that just someone you having an experience with, though? Because, you know, I think we're talking about two different things. And I wanted to introduce another question and want to know whether or not you all feel that even having the physical experience at all kind of tarnishes the potential for a much deeper connection if the physical precedes, you know, getting to know someone emotionally. And I'm asking this question because I read a book. It's been about 5 or 6 months. It's called The Magic Touch, and it's written by a Jewish lady. And they have a Jewish law that's called Shomer Nagia, which is basically, you know, forbidden touch. And so when they're courting, there's no physical contact whatsoever, mm-hmm. and you're just conversing mm-hmm. and soaking up each other's energy. And so once you have that in the bag, because there are things that are just as and even more important than sex in a relationship.
Right, right.
Yes. I mean, and so you have to be open to the possibility that while someone may not be able to please you completely sexually, they have so many other qualities, you know, and are those qualities more important or just as important as sex? And then, in what order do you really want to experience those? Because if you're jumping into the physical, then how precious is it?
Mm.
Yeah, right.
Very you know? Good question.
That's a good question because it does. It will. There is some – it loses its luster, and it does feel like for a guy who – for guys who are on that chase, and you know, basically that's why they used to be called a score. I'm trying to score, and it's like, hey, I scored. Oh, okay. I accomplished it. Now it's
there's nothing else
right
to
now
work
I get
toward.
To do it again, but it's like I've done it the first time already. Versus, you know, you want to be teased. You just want to be like, oh, I almost got it. I didn't make it. Damn, I'm gonna keep trying. But if it's like, so, you know, like say some games, first shot you hit it, and you kind of like. A couple times, like, oh, this game boring. Like, I come in all the way and figured it out. Like, oh, okay. But if it's something that's like, shit, it's hard. What the hell? But I love playing. I'm gonna keep playing.
Well, what are some of those other things? I'm sorry, Rasan.
No, I wasn't gonna say that.
You sure? Mm-hmm. What are some of those things that we need to have in addition to a good sexual relationship? Because if good sex in and of itself is not going to be enough to hold down the relationship, what else needs to be there? And I'm really curious about the men's perspective, because I feel like we've had the conversation about women several times at the table, and we've, Alicia and I touched, you know, you want that mental connection, an emotional connection. I think for me, loyalty is important. And being able to have good communication is important. But for you all, like, what would be a requirement?
I think both you and Alicia said that communication is at the top of that list, because it pretty much paves the way for everything else. The loyalty, okay, well, what is your perception of loyalty?
Right.
I mean, you really might be cool with me going to screw somebody else as long as I'm keeping you sitting pretty, you know? So, but we need to make sure that that's the case. Right. Do I think it's okay and you don't? Or do you think it's okay and I just don't know it?
Right.
And so, you know, if there's no communication, if there's no communication, you don't know these things.
Right. So I can make some good decisions for myself.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, I was going to say the same thing. Like, it has to be a good to, like, a open level of communication, because you have to be able to talk to your partner where they can understand you. Can get a sense of what you want and how you're coming off, you know, because there's people who try to talk and they just scream at the person like, you don't get it. I'm explaining it to you. I'm like, I don't get it with all this noise and the way you're packaging what you're telling me. And I can't figure it out. Like, the way you're telling me, I don't understand. I need you to find another way to explain this to me where I get it. You know, I mean, you have to figure that out, because if you keep trying to explain something to your partner and they're not getting it, it's either that, you know, there's something, there's a disconnect in the communication itself.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of figure out, how do I am able to get this to them for them to understand? And maybe I'm not speaking in the language that they understand.
Not speaking right. Their love language.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that love language. Yeah, and the communication and the, you know, and the support, you know what I'm saying? Like, the communication, I think the support. For each other, you know what I'm saying? For each other's goals, our aspirations together, and, you know, what we want to do. Just
those are very, you know, attractive things in a woman.
Right.
When she's supportive of what you want to do, even if it's clearly not in her best interest.
Yeah, it's very, very attractive.
Those are a turn on, you know, and even turn on sexually.
Yeah.
Right.
Having loyalty is, I don't believe in the whole full on ride or die thing. You want a woman who's like, I believe in you and I support you and I'm going to be here. And I'm like, I got your back. Like, so when it gets, when I see you lean back a little bit, I'm, you know, like those trust tests people used to do. Like, you fall back, I got you. But you do want somebody who, and you know, some men don't. But I like a woman who's like, not right or die, because she sees something I'm doing is a stupid mistake and it's not the best for me. I would like her to be like, I don't think you should do that.
Well, that's, I mean, definitely me.
Right.
I won't co-sign, you know, on bullshit.
Right. You know. Yeah. And then we can dialogue and maybe it's something good and I can convince you, or you right. But just to be like, yeah, whatever you do, like, I don't want my woman going to jail for me on some dumb shit.
I would agree.
All that, like, oh, I got you, because I'm like, until you go to jail. He fucking somebody else. I mean, clearly.
Or, yeah, or vice
right.
versa.
Right, but I mean,
it's
like,
too much of a mess.
You know, well, they're like, oh, she carrying heat for me. I'm like, no. Like, no, I want my woman to be like, nigga, I'm not carrying your fucking drugs.
Dumb.
Not, right, right. You dumb for doing it in the first place, but don't get my ass in trouble. Like, yeah, so like that kind of supportive, and you know, a woman who got to have a good personality. Like, you have to be fun to be around. Like, I'm going to be around you for a minute. So we need to be able to go places together, the stuff I like doing, you like doing. Can we go to dinner and have a good time? Or, you know, can we go out and do something fun? Can I do something that I like doing? Can I expose you to it and you be, you know, down to try it, and vice versa? I think that's important also.
I have another question for the table. How much of your sexual past do you reveal to your partner?
How much? That's different for men and women.
Why?
Why would it be different?
We're back at that double standard. And the problem is, well, it's not a problem, but the issue is that women are aware of the double standard, at least most are. And so, and acknowledging it, you just have to be cautious.
So what we're saying, no, well, break it down for me, cousin, as if I had no clue at all what you're talking about. So,
well,
can a man reveal as much as he wants and a woman needs to covet some of her information?
No,
be selective
not,
about what
I'm
she shares.
I'm not going to go that far.
Okay.
I don't think a man can reveal everything because you might put yourself in a position of distrust. And find yourself being accused of things that you've done in the past when in actuality you've experienced it and it's behind you, you're ready to move ahead. But at the same time, women, I think most women are aware of this double standard that they may be more inclined to keep their business to themselves, which is fine because,
I think it's a good idea to have some mystery about yourself. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there are some issues that you do, some things you do need to reveal about yourself. But I mean, if it's a complete turnoff for me, if someone came out to me and said, oh, you know, I've had 20 partners in the past, like there's some things I don't think I would want to know. I think mm-hmm. it would be just too much. It would be a turnoff for me.
Mm. My quick answer, some, not all.
Okay. For both?
Yeah. I mean, look, you can already got, neither party can sometimes handle everything.
True that.
I mean, because, you know, guys don't, I don't want to know everything that, you know, some of the information is old, like that was in your past. I got it.
Well, how do these revelations come about? And that, is it just the plain naked truth? Oh, yeah, I did that with so-and-so. Yeah, you know, or is it... I mean, I don't understand how that conversation even comes about. To be
yeah, I think so.
You.
Like, yeah, because if it's like, you know, if it's, you know, somebody else, like, man, hey, I don't know.
TMI.
Might not, you know what I'm saying? That, you know what I'm saying? And then, if you know, if the information comes about through some, you know, COINTELPRO type situation, you know, now that kind of throws your mind off to a whole different kind of, you know, now you, when you're around a person, you kind of, you know, watching, like, you know, looking for a little different things, you know. So I think, but, you know, just communicating with each other, you know, I think there should be some dialogue as to, you know, what happens. But then, you know, it should be somewhat of a, not really a, I don't want to say mystery, but more so just protection from, like you said, allowing for yourself to be distrusted, you know, especially if you're trying to build something and you're serious about that, you know, within the relationship that you're in, you know.
I was going to ask a question for the tables. Do you at least need to know your person's, your partner's number?
No.
Okay.
I would have said yes to this question 20 years ago, but I think, you know, like Kim mentioned before, we're in an age where you can assume that I think by the time you hit 30, 35, that both people involved were more than likely have had some experience, and I'm comfortable leaving it at that, you know.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And you don't ask either.
Oh, hell
no. Nah, that's a no.
Yeah,
right. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, ladies don't. Y'all,
right.
You don't
right.
ask either.
Right.
At this
you know
point,
what?
At this point.
I think, like Daria said, as a younger woman, it would have been more of a concern. The older I get, now I can't speak as to how I would do this as a single person because I haven't been single for so long. Mm-hmm. But mentally where I am now, if I were on the market, I don't think I would ask that question.
Okay.
I don't think it would matter to me at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I would want to know partner variety if partner variety exists.
What does that exist?
What does that mean?
So, yeah.
I have a guess, but let's say.
Yeah, if I don't know, if you had a weird moment and for decided you know, if the brother decided for a second he was bisexual and had a tryst with another brother, I would want to know that.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, and once again, how do you get into these conversations?
I think I would just ask.
No,
I think, yeah, I think you know, in something like that, instance like that, yeah, that's taken into more, you know, what's that, the terrorist alert?
Orange type
level, where, like, you really need to know this information. You really need to know, like, yeah, this might be a potential threat.
I would want somebody to be upfront about it.
Wait, because you're dealing with different,
you know, because, like, with that, I know there's been issues around what, you know, STDs and, you know, HIV, different thing, you know, so it might affect each other's health, you know, so that's...
Have you frequented prostitutes and had unprotected sex? Are you, you know, having sex in the strip club unprotected? Right. Like, that information I would like to know.
But once again, let's set the scene for this. Is this, we're getting dressed for work one day and this question comes out?
Oh, no.
Are we holding each other in the tub and you're like, baby, can I ask you a question?
That might
Have
be
you ever sucked a man's dick?
That might be when I asked that question.
Yeah. You know, I'm just trying to figure it out, you know? But, or are they exemplifying some behavior that leads you to say...
The way you ask the question, you say, you know what, baby, what turns you on? This is what turns me on, you know? It's the way you package the information.
That's some sneaky shit. Yeah.
But that's how you get the information you need.
You knew it was going to be some sneaky shit.
That's how you get the information you need.
You like booty play? Oh, okay. You had your butt play before?
You been to jail, huh?
Yeah.
That's the next question.
Yeah.
You been to jail? Think, oh, no.
Yeah, because if a question like that was just asked, you know, off top, just, you know, boom, like, what the, you know.
No, that leaves too now, much space for denial.
You know, I think that's going to, like, and that's going to be like,
You done killed the mood.
You know, we was cool up until this point. And you saw an episode of Oprah or something, and then you talking about this new phenomenon that's sweeping the nation. You know what I'm saying? And then now all of a sudden, it's a concern for you. You know, like you said, with no previous kind of, you know, inkling, and then all of a sudden the question's just asked. You like butt play with perfume or whatever. You know what I'm saying?
That's
like,
a real specific taste.
So the men out here listening to this can understand that this is the gauntlet. This is the trap being set.
Right.
So it's the buttering up. And so are you saying, well, I would be cool with that too? And then you're like, look at what the hell is wrong with
Inquiring minds want to know.
I mean, how do females feel about it when they feel like a guy's going to ask, have you had sex with the same sex?
I think men fantasize about that.
And would
that
you
shit.
Be open to doing it
I
again?
Don't.
Yeah.
I think some men fantasize about
it. I agree. That's one thing that I'm not into. Not that I'm opposed to other people doing it, but that's just not the way my hormones swing. You know?
Now, is there ever a time outside of illness that it's okay for your partner to withhold sex? Is there ever a time that's okay?
To withhold?
And they're not sick. This is
I'd be more inclined to say that there are times when a partner should not withhold.
Okay.
As in when you guys have had a disagreement, or as in I'm tired. Well, you ain't got to do nothing anyway, but just later. So just, I'm just talking shit. But, you know, I think.
Tired is not an excuse.
No, it is. It is, in all seriousness, but we're right back at that issue of communication.
Yeah,
you know, and if we've communicated effectively, then you don't have to tell me that you don't feel like it for me to know. I'm sensing it, and out of respect for you, I will leave you alone. You know, and I would hope that. That goes both ways, you know?
Because you can't be tired every day.
No, you can't play that card.
Well, that's different. That's different. You're right. You can't be tired every day.
Yeah, you can't come with the same shit all the time. Like, all right, what's up? Sums up. Stop using this. I'm tired. Like, you always the damn tired for real? You wasn't tired going out.
Let me help get you some vitamins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be like, really?
You get some Yohimbe.
Oh, anybody have anything to say in summation? Leisha, y'all. All right,
Well, we thank you so much for tuning in. As always, you can find us on blackisonline.com, on Twitter at blackisonline, on Facebook at Black Is Magazine. Call the hotline, 323-455-4219, or email us at kc@blackisonline.com. And please, people, start leaving us some feedback, some five-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. Until next time, peace.